I'm Ben Davies, and this is The Clear Money Mindset. Welcome to The Clear Money Mindset, providing you with help and tips to manage your money in a clear and intentional way. I'm your host and financial advisor, Ben Davies. At Davies Financial Sterling Mutuals, we want to provide you with meaningful tips to help you with your money. Well, we are well into 2024, and we are in the middle of tax time. We wanted to give you, our listeners, a heads up on any changes and give you some tips to help you prepare for this year's tax return. So we have invited Josie Hope back on the podcast. She is a chartered accountant who actually has over 10 years of experience working at the CRA. Josie's been on the podcast many times before, and we always look forward to having her on to update us on what's changed and new in the tax world. Tax season is just around the corner, and usually this time of year, at least for the last couple, we've chatted with Josie Hope. She's a chartered accountant with LJ Business Solutions, and she's here again to walk us through some of the tax changes for the upcoming year, and also to give us some info on some good tax planning you can do, or prep you can do before you get your tax returns in. So Josie, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So first things first, we're going to tackle any major changes this year to the any major changes in laws or regulations or updates for 2023 for filing.
So I'm going to highlight five of them. The first one is for the tradesperson and apprenticeship mechanics. For them, they get an additional $500 this year for the employment deduction expense.
Okay, cool.
The next one will be for property flipping. So starting January of 2023, if you don't have your home for more than a year, you're no longer considered to have a capital gain if you sell a secondary property. Now it's going to be treated as business income. So if you, in the past, had been flipping property, you would have only been taxed on half of your gain. Now you will be treated as if that's a business income. So you've got your income, you've got your expenses, and then you're going to be taxed on whatever your income is.
So the whole gain, unless you keep the house for more than a year.
Right.
That's a huge change for people investing in property, for
sure. Yes. The third one will be the home office expenses. Most people have been used to claiming the $2 a day flat rate over the last couple of years because of being working from home.
Okay.
This is no longer going to apply for the 2023 tax year. Now the detailed method is going to be required, and employees are going to have to get a $2,200 slip from their employer if they want to claim home office expenses. And there's a lot more criteria, a lot of more detailed information that goes with that, but just know that the flat method is no longer an option for 2023.
So if they want to continue like the hybrid work, they're going to have to do a lot more work to prove that they're working from home for a certain amount of time, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not going to be able to do like a flat rate. It'll be, they'll have to track their expenses and go through the detailed method of claiming their business use of home expenses.
That'll be interesting. There might be a lot of people going back to work in office after that if they find it too annoying. So that's for, so that'll count this, like if you're filing for 2023, it'll count.
Correct.
Okay. That's a big change.
Yeah. The next one will be the multi-generational home renovation tax credit, or the MHRTC, because CRA likes their acronyms. Nice. It's a new refundable tax credit, and it basically allows for a credit of up to 50, well, the credit maximum is $7,500. So you can claim up to $50,000 in qualifying expenses. And this is for individuals who are basically creating like a second unit in their home.
Yep.
So that they can keep all other family members in their home with the rising cost of housing right now. This is becoming quite popular to have multiple generations in one home.
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing that, whether it's like the apartment over the garage or renovating the basement or part of the house so that their children can stay because it's too hard, it's too expensive to rent and it's too hard to find a home. So that's an interesting credit that might actually inspire people to start renovating who might not have been thinking of it if it's advantageous enough for them.
Yeah. So this is it's obviously a good credit. Just keep in mind that you're only eligible for one claim in your lifetime, so you can't continue to do this on multiple homes.
So one renovation and then you're done. Nice. Yeah.
The last change I wanted to talk about is for small business owners who are registered for HST. Most people file their returns electronically, but there are some people who still do not file electronically. They maybe fax them in or they mail them in the old school way. CRA is now going to charge a penalty if you don't file electronically.
Really?
And the penalties are not light. The first offense is a $100 penalty. And if you subsequently continue to submit returns without electronically filing, it's a $250 fine.
Wow. Just for not using the electronic system.
They really, really are forcing small business owners and individuals to use My Account and My Business Account. This is one of the ways they're doing that. They're strongly encouraging it.
That will inspire you to make a few changes if you're going to get a $100, $250 hit every time you go to do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are some pretty big changes, actually, especially the one for flipping homes.
Yes.
Considering a business income, like that really changes whether it'd be worth it or not to buy a home and sell it right away. You have to really know your numbers well. I'm going to ask you, we're going to go through some basic things on RRSPs, because I feel like it seems basic, but there's a lot of people who don't fully understand how the RRSP works, when they should use it, why they should use it at all. So let's go through that. How do RRSP contributions help people with their income taxes?
So RRSPs are basically a tax deferral, a method of tax deferral. So when you contribute to RRSPs, you get a deduction on your tax return that year for the RRSP contribution, and you get taxed upon withdrawal. The intention of an RRSP is that if you're making a specific amount of income and you're in whatever tax bracket you're currently in, when you withdraw the RRSPs, you will be retired and at a lower tax bracket, so you're going to be paying less tax upon withdrawal. So that's the whole intention with the RRSPs. How they help with income tax savings is because when you contribute, you do get that deduction. So a good thing to know when you're contributing to RRSPs is to know your marginal tax rate. So the marginal tax rate is the tax that we paid on every additional dollar that you earn. And that's kind of how you can determine the savings of contributing to an RRSP.
Yep.
So for example, if you're tax rate is, you know, your marginal tax rate is 24%, then you would save approximately $240 on every $1,000 you contributed. So it's a good idea to before February 29th, or hopefully you're doing this on a continuous basis throughout the year, weekly or, you know, biweekly, monthly contributions. It's always, you know better than anyone else how that benefits.
Well, it saves a lot of time. We actually talk about this a lot. It's good to get into the markets throughout the year. You can never predict the way the markets are going to go, but it does seem that a lot of times if you're going to go through a downturn in the market, it seems to happen in the latter half of the year. Now, that doesn't always happen, but I like the idea of what they call dollar cost averaging. You're getting your money in every month. You're buying less when the market's high and more when the market's low. And then it doesn't leave you in a position where you're scrambling with your accountant in the last month of the year to find out how you're going to get the money, taking RSP loans, maybe paying some interest on that you wouldn't have normally paid. So yeah, it is a good idea I tell people, look at what your accountant or advisor recommended the year before and maybe just like merge that into a monthly contribution so that no one has to freak out, or at least if you have some sort of monthly payment going in, you're not going to have to find $10,000 to come up with to bring your tax bracket to a lower point. Other things that, now this would be more like a client specific thing for people to keep in mind, is there certain government benefits and things like that. Like we have some clients who adopt and you get a certain amount of money from the government for that, but your family income has to stay under a certain amount. So There's also times where maybe it's not 100% for the tax break, but it's just for the benefit that you're retaining by not having your income fly up. Mm-hmm. So that's a good insight to do it monthly. Went on a long tangent to do with that, but we recommend it highly as well. So RSPs, you can't just put all that you want into one, even a TFSA. How can people go about finding out, or what's the easiest way to find out how much you can actually put into your RSP or TFSA?
So this is always going to be on the notice of assessment.
Okay.
And like I said, they're forcing everybody to go electronic. So if they have your email address, you probably won't get this in the mail anymore. You'll have to log into your My Account and either look on your notice of assessment or on the main page. And there's a summary there that tells you how much room you have to contribute to your RRSP and what you can put in your TFSA.
Okay. And that's going to be the most up-to-date information as far as what you could get from the CRA to check on that. Now, I want to ask you about the My Account, because a long time ago, and I know people had kind of given up on the My Account because of this, you had to get like this code sent in the mail, and then it took a few weeks to come, and then oftentimes people would forget to go and sign on in the first place. Is it fairly easy to get on the My Account now? Is it the same way?
It's the same.
It's
the same process. I do have experience people having challenges logging in. I always tell them to call CRA, because that's one thing CRAs actually, they're actually pretty good with walking you through. They'll take the time if you can get through to them fairly quickly. It is, unfortunately, yes, it's still that process though. When you set up your account, you have to wait, I think they say 5 to 10 business days. Don't quote me on those, but I think it's about 5 to 10 business days to get your access code. And then once you have the access code, you can use that to fully access the features of My Account or My Business Account.
And then after that, I know when I go into mine now, I use my bank to verify me, which makes the login process a lot easier, but you still need an initial code.
Yeah.
So just get it done, I guess.
Yes. Because
it sounds like from what you're saying, in the next year or two, CRA is going to have everybody kind of forced to be using that.
Yeah, they keep pushing for electronic use. It's cheaper for them because they don't have to mail anything.
Yep. And then what are the dates that people need to keep in mind for taxes to be filed by?
So normal filing and payment deadline is always April 30th. April 30th is the payment deadline, regardless of whether you're self-employed or you're not self-employed. The only difference between self-employed and those who are employed through a T4 income is that they have until June 15th to actually file their return for okay. them and their spouse. So just, I find a lot of people think that that's their payment deadline as well. Just keep in mind, April 30th is the payment deadline for everybody across the board. And then the only difference is if you're self-employed, you and your spouse have until June 15th to file that paper return.
Okay, that makes sense. And then when it comes to preparing taxes, what can people start now? Start preparing now to be organized come tax time. That will make their tax preparer happier with them and keep the process a bit more streamlined.
So we already talked about the RSPs. Planning that in advance saves a lot of time and a lot of rushing at the end of February. Now that most things are self-serve, I would suggest going into your bank or whatever, you know, financial software you use to access any T3s or T5 slips. Most slips are available through the CRA account.
Yep.
I find that the RRSP slips and the tuition slips tend to come later, so they're not always available by the time people are ready to do their tax return. So if you have access to those, you can get them in advance from your school, from your online account or your bank's financial institutions. Keep track of things like medical expenses, donations, property tax or rent. And if you forget what you need, look at last year's return and see what kind of slips you had.
That's a good
idea. That's a good way to kind of gauge what you're looking for to make sure you haven't missed anything. The other thing I want to highlight is for business owners, for them. It's so much more important to be prepared, because you don't want to come to your accountant in March with all of your bookkeeping, nothing's done, nothing summarized.
Yeah.
Get that stuff done throughout the year. We try to get people on a cyclical basis, either monthly or quarterly, even, you know, semi-annually, to get their bookkeeping done, so that when it comes to tax time, they're not stressed and they're not causing extra work for us last minute, because you give it to us a little too late, and then we try to get as best as we can to get it done on time, but you just can't guarantee if somebody gives you 2 weeks worth of work a couple of days before the deadline, that doesn't always work so well.
You're giving it to them at their most busy time of the year. Yeah. So that doesn't help either. I do know on the contribution slip side, we're seeing a lot of investment companies waiting now till after February 29th to issue any of the slips at all. Not everyone. Used to be that most were issued somewhere in January, and then they do what they call first 60 days after February was done. But we're seeing a lot now of just all the slips being issued after, which is an annoyance for people trying to get their taxes done early. But I think it's just an efficiency thing where companies are saying, well, let's just issue the slips at once instead of having two rounds of this. But the bottom line is get organized in time. I ask you this every year. I didn't put this on, but I'm gonna ask you anyway, because I'm pretty sure you'll have a reason for this. So why do you think it's important that people consider having someone professional prepare their taxes as opposed to doing it on their own?
I think it's mostly because we keep up on new things and individuals may miss things. Depends how they're filing as well. If you're filing with electronic software and you have a really simple return, if it's just a couple slips, then you're probably filing it correctly. But if it's a complex return and you've got multiple slips, a lot of different scenarios, you've got a husband and wife, if you have children, you add a lot of things to the mix, it's just easy for them to miss things. And we do this all the time, so we tend to have checklists. We go through our checks and balances to make sure that things are not missed.
Yep. And the tax world is huge and very complex, so it's good to have somebody who knows what they're doing helping you out. Well, that's a great update. I think it gives everybody a good idea of the changes, some of the things you can do to be prepared, and just chatting through the RSP contributions. If you haven't done that yet, start doing the work now to work with your accountant, or you can, there's lots of places that are online, or we can provide these for people where you can give us your income and we can throw that into a calculator to give you a rough idea. It's very basic, but what income level you're at and how much an RSP would save you in taxes on a very basic level, but at least gives you an idea if you're rushing for the deadline. Josie, thanks so much for coming on and helping us keep everyone up to date on what's new in the tax world.
Thanks, Ben.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as legal, financial, or professional advice. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and are for informational purposes only and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Sterling Mutuals, Inc. Mutual funds and ETFs provided through Sterling Mutuals, Inc. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the fund facts before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.